Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MB Pro Call. Today is August 27th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which you can, of course, do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you use or going to motorvitality.com and listening there. We always appreciate it when you're on live, though. Apparently, we got started a couple minutes late this morning because of technical difficulties, which we rarely run into, but appreciate your patience when we do. So I have a topic I definitely want to talk about today. We're going to talk about the Netflix Zac Efron water episode. The episode is actually titled Paris, and it's a show that Zac Efron did called Down to Earth, and it's the episode 2 of it. So we're going to talk about that, but real quick, I do want to start to call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Anybody have anything? Okay, then let's go on and jump into our topic today, which I'm pretty excited about. So it's actually been kind of fun to delve in to the research on this and to really go in. So I don't know how many of you have seen or heard of this show called Down to Earth. It's hosted by Zac Efron. Now, who is Zac Efron, you may be asking yourself, that was a name that I had heard of, but had no idea who he was. And so apparently Zac Efron was really big he was one of the stars in a show called High School Musical, which I'm like, oh, that Zac Efron, that's a movie I've watched over and over and over. That fits right into my, you know, my Friday night favorite movies is High School Musical. Yay. But it sort of made sense. But that's where I wanted to start this conversation. So let me kind of give a brief overview of what happens in this episode for those of you that have not seen it, because it was kind of interesting. And the reason this is a topic is because I started getting questions from clients, from people that are like, oh, do you see the Zac Efron episode about water? And I hadn't. So because so many people were asking about it or talking about it, and I think our customers might ask about it, I thought it would be a relevant discussion. So the overview, what ends up happening apparently is Zac Efron has hooked up with this guy, and I haven't done any research on him, the guy that he's kind of traveling around the world with, but he connected with this guy that he heard a podcast about, and he was listening to this podcast, and this guy is one of these, he's one with the earth. The earth is a living, breathing entity. It's alive, and we have to feel it. And in fact, in this particular episode, when they get to Paris, he has to take his shoes. He believes that walking around barefoot when you fly overseas will cure jet lag, because it makes you one with the electromagnetic signals in the earth. Okay. It was interesting. And to Zac Efron's credit, on a lot of this episode, and I don't know how it is on others, he is open-minded, tries certain things, is also a bit cynical, and it gets to where he's looking at this guy that he's traveling with going, are you serious? This is just weird stuff. But he, you know, he's trying to keep an open mind, and he's learning about the stuff, and it's all kind of interesting. So what really gains the attention of everybody, though, is it starts off in Los Angeles, where they go see this guy named Martin Rees, who is supposedly a water tasting expert. So you heard of like the wine sommeliers. This guy is, or sommelier, or I'm not sure how you pronounce that exactly, but you know, somebody who's an expert wine taster, right? Except this guy claims to be the only certified water sommelier. Does anybody know how to pronounce that word? Like the wine, what is it?
Sommelier.
Thank you. Wine sommelier. That's what it was. I couldn't quite remember because my black box, you know, it just tastes good. My Boda. I've got a 2020 black box right here that I've been letting breathe a little bit. This guy is a water sommelier, and so Zac Efron and this woman go and they sit and they do these tastings, and this guy, this Martin Rees guy, starts talking about total dissolved solids, and they even explain to some extent what total they show with nice cool graphics TDS and explain total dissolved solids, but they don't really explain what total dissolved solids are. They just take a brief moment and give the very high impression that the higher the TDS in the water, the better the water is. And they go through this very vague explanation of how you know, they use terms like, in fact, at one point the woman says, what, you mean I shouldn't drink filtered water? And that was immediately following when he had talked about purified water. He's explaining distilled water or reverse osmosis systems and basically water with very low mineral content in it. And so she says, what, I shouldn't drink filtered water? And he goes in and says, no, filtered water essentially strips the good minerals from your body. And he makes the claim. He says the World Health Organization recommends not drinking low mineral water or purified water. He says the World Health Organization recommends not drinking purified water or low mineral water. And so that was there was enough in there that I decided, okay, let's take a look at it, especially since he keeps giving them, he brings it out in the wine glass and he swirls it and he smells it and he does all the stuff that you would do with like regular water, and he hands it to them to taste. It is kind of funny, if you happen to watch this episode or if you haven't seen it, or if you've seen it, you'll remember this. Zac Efron's face when he's tasting this stuff, it's not a huge endorsement for some of this water. There's one of them that's like 4,000 TDS and Zac Efron tastes it, and he's get this look on his face, and tastes a little like Alka-Seltzer. It doesn't say it like it's a good thing, but the guy that's giving it to him says, yes, it does, and he makes it sound like it's like, you know, he sells it like it's the best water ever because it has high TDS. And he's talking about, you know, mineral content and the nutrients that it gives and stuff like that. So that's kind of interesting, and we'll unpack some of the claims there in just a second. But then they continue on to Paris. They do this weird thing with the jet lag, and then they take a tour of Paris's water treatment plant, which is actually kind of interesting. That part is pretty interesting. And so we'll talk about that here in a second as well. So I kind of want to break this down into a couple little segments here. And then at the end, they go to this place where there are these healing waters and like the Lord's, and they talk to a Catholic priest who documents. He explains how when somebody is healed, they go through this method of determining whether it was actually a miracle. And they say there's only been like 7 or 8 miracles in the last 150 years since they started doing it. And that part was kind of interesting too, but not directly water related. It was just that water had these healing properties when they bathed in it or whatever. So that was kind of interesting as well. But the first two thirds of this show are relevant to our industry. So let's unpack the first part of this first. So who's this going to appeal to? Well, Zac Efron is 32 years old. He is, like I said, mostly has done kids movies, but he's definitely in the millennial age group now. You know, he's up there. And so there are a lot of people much younger than me that know who this guy is and probably have followed him. And I got to tell you, his persona on this show was very likable. I could see how he would have a following because he seemed genuine. He seemed open-minded, well-spoken. He's a handsome guy. So I can see how he would have an influence on people out there. And this is relevant because we're going to run into this stuff. You know, he's a good spokesperson. But to be fair to him, he didn't really, other than producing this show and putting it out there and talking about it, he never really endorsed any particular thing. He never really said, this is what we're doing. He's letting other people tell their stories. And he never really went out there and said, and so in conclusion, this is what I think you should do, which I thought was pretty noteworthy. But anyway, I started trying to look up water sommelier and where this Martin Rees got, because he says that he's the only certified one. And I started, okay, I was like, who's certified? And then when you Google Martin Rees, you get all these things. And in fact, he claims to be the world's foremost expert on water. It's his background. Apparently he started getting interested in water in 2012. So the last 8 years, he's become the world's most foremost expert in water, which was not very clear to me because he didn't seem to have an understanding of bicarbonates and carbonates, and it seemed to me that he may have read a mostly debunked World Health Organization study that I'll talk about here in a second. But he got his certification from something called the German Mineral Water Trade Association. I've looked on that. I spent quite a bit of time trying to find out what the German Mineral Water Trade Association was. I couldn't find anything about that. And when you do a search on the German Mineral Water Trade Association, it brings you back to this Martin Rees. So the only mention I can find, and that's not to say that it's not a real thing, but apparently it's circular. When you do the Google searches, you search Martin Rees, it says that he got his certification from this place. When you search the German Mineral Water Trade Association, it comes back up with Martin Rees. So that's always a little questionable there. That's not to say, again, that this isn't a real place. I didn't delve into that. I didn't spend a ton of time trying to find the German Mineral Water Trade Association. But I was very curious about the claim that the World Health Organization says you should not drink mineral water or low mineral water, because that is contrary to what I have learned in my measly 23 years in this industry, from, you know, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency says that you should have, now it's the aesthetics, tastes good, smells good, looks good, but they recommend a TDS below 500 for aesthetic, that's as part of their secondary recommendations. The Canadian EPA does the same thing. Europe does not have a recommendation at all. They don't even mention sotrazol solids. But the U.S. definitely does. So the EPA, also the Water Quality Association. By the way, I am going to attach, there are two studies that are two papers that I spent quite a bit of time kind of reading and looking at, and I'm going to put links of those in the description box of this podcast. I'll put it on there so you guys can go back and look at those. The first is a paper that was done by the World Health Organization. It's a Russian study. It summarizes a Russian study where they do talk a lot about this this issue of demineralized water or low TDS water and the impacts that it has on the human body. And while they don't come out and say directly, they don't directly say the words, you shouldn't drink low TDS water, they definitely make it clear that they don't think it's a good idea for various reasons. Now, it's a very long paper. I mean, there's a lot of really good information in it, and they do back it up. The problem with it, and by their own admission, in fact, I wanted to read this one section here to you guys because this will come. I've heard other people reference this paper before. Oh, the World Health Organization says you shouldn't drink that. Even when we're putting in reverse osmosis systems, I've heard people say, you know, and it this definitely talks about low TDS water stripping minerals from the body and that you don't get minerals from it and stuff like that. So here, for example, is one of the quotes from this section. It says, little or no intake of calcium and magnesium from low mineral water. Calcium and magnesium are both essential elements. Calcium is a substantial component of bones and teeth. In addition, it plays a role in neuromuscular excitability, the proper function of conducting myocardial system, heart muscle, and contractibility, intracellular information transmission, and the coagulability of blood. Okay, so that tells what it is there. And then, although drinking water is not the major source of our calcium magnesium intake, the health significance of supplemental intake of these elements from drinking water may outweigh its nutritional contribution expressed as the proportion of the total daily intake of these elements. Even in industrialized country, diets deficient in terms of the quantity of calcium and magnesium may not be fully able to compensate for the absence of calcium and in particular magnesium in drinking water. So basically what they say is that, you know, we've always heard that you get there. I've always heard, it's what the WQA says, that you get your nutrients from the foods you eat, not from the water. Well, this is saying that you may not have enough calcium, magnesium in the water in the food to say that you shouldn't have it in the water. Okay. It goes in and talks quite a bit about that, but the one thing here that it does in their summary at the end of this, there's a section that says recommendations. So this is what it says. The report recommended that minimum calcium content of desalinated water should be 30 parts per million. These levels were based on health concerns, with most critical effects being hormonal changes in calcium and phosphorus metabolism. The report also recommended a bicarbonate ion content of 30 parts per million. So that's still pretty low. That was in the first edition. The second edition says that the World Health Organization in the second edition of Guidelines for Drinking Water Quality evaluated calcium magnesium in terms of water hardness, but did not recommend either minimum levels or maximum limits for calcium magnesium or hardness. The first European directive established a requirement for minimum hardness for softened or desalinated water. So basically they're saying that there were no recommendations, but here's the conclusion. I'm sorry, this is what it... So the conclusion, drinking water should contain minimum levels of certain essential minerals and other components such as carbonates. Unfortunately, over the past two decades, little research attention has been given to the beneficial or protective effects of drinking water substances. The main focus has been on the toxicological properties of contaminants. Nevertheless, some studies have attempted to define the minimum content of essential elements or TDS in the drinking water, and some countries have included requirements or guidelines for selected substances in their drinking water regulations. The issue is relevant not only where drinking water is obtained by desalinization, if not adequately remineralized, but also where home treatment or central water treatment reduces the content of important minerals and low mineral bottled water is consumed. Demineralized water that has not been remineralized or low mineral content water in light of the absence or substantial lack of essential minerals in it is not considered ideal drinking water, and therefore its regular consumption may not be providing adequate levels of some beneficial nutrients. So that is the line that most people point to in turn when they're saying that they should not, that you should not be drinking pure water. That first line in the conclusion. So again, demineralized water that has not been remineralized or low mineral content water in light of the absence or substantial lack of essential minerals in it is not considered ideal for drinking water. Okay, so in doing the research, I thought, okay, so how this is completely different than everything that I have heard or read. So I started doing some research, and one of the best places to start the research is the Water Quality Association's technical fact sheet regarding this. And I'm just going to read the conclusion of this to you guys. Okay. So this, there's a lot of science and a lot of data and a lot of explanation on both of these papers. And I don't want to delve too deep into that stuff. I just really kind of wanted to focus on the conclusions of this and where we were. And then I want to talk very briefly on how we address this or what the conclusion is in terms of how we are presenting our products to market. Okay. So this is the Water Quality Association's technical data sheet on low. This document is called consumption of low TDS water. So it addresses that issue in particular. You know, whether or not there is a risk or benefit in drinking low TDS water. So this is the conclusion. It has been concluded that the consumption of low TDS water, this is from the Water Quality Association, it has been concluded that the consumption of low TDS water naturally occurring or received from a treatment process does not result in harmful effects to the human body. This is based upon the following points. No public health organization with authority over drinking water quality anywhere in the world has enacted or even proposed a minimum requirement for total dissolved minerals in drinking water. The human body's own control mechanism, homeostasis, regulates the mineral content of the body fluids and the discharge of different types of ions from the body of normal health individuals drinking water with low or high mineral content. Several types of scientific literature searches have found no harmful effects to the human body attributable to the consumption of low TDS water. Review of the Soviet report, this is the report that I was just reading to you off of. Review of the Soviet report has shown that scientific methods used are questionable and the conclusions are either vague or unsupported by data. That is true all the way through that report. When you read it, they're talking about, you know, a few people that they've done with or a study they did with mice or whatever. It does say in there that you can't dismiss that stuff, but it does recognize that it did not follow scientific protocol. WQA paper continues. It says many examples of real world situations in which large populations have been and continue to be provided exclusively with low TDS water without any reported unusual or ill health effects establishes the safety of consuming such waters by human beings. Okay, so real quick, I do want to say that it's worth watching that episode for this discussion, but also when they do tour the Paris water treatment plant, it's interesting to see Paris, Europe, in fact, much of Europe uses ozone to disinfect their water as opposed to chlorine. So here in the United States, we use chlorine, a lot of chlorine. They use ozone. They don't talk about residual impact of disinfection. Chlorine provides a residual, whereas ozone doesn't. They treat it as a plant. It doesn't really. Ozone and UV, neither one, provide residual disinfection. And that's one of the things because of the delivery systems that we do have in the States here. So how do we talk about all of this stuff? Like I said, you could really delve into the science. I think having this technical data sheet from the Water Quality Association is very beneficial. But how do we delve, when we run across this with the customer, what do we do? Well, again, there are certainly people that are convinced there are two opposite sides of the issue here. People from our industry, the Water Quality Association and the water treatment dealers, people who are selling reverse osmosis systems, the things, we're out there telling people, oh, this doesn't hurt you. It's good. You start, you have this clean, high quality drinking water. And then there are people on the other side that say, oh no, reverse osmosis strips the good minerals from your body and you have to put this alkalinity into your water. And the higher the TDS, the better, because you have to, your body absorbs it and homeostasis. And so my thought is this. You can have 10 different people that read both of these studies, and they're going to come somewhere on either side of the issue and believe whichever one, particularly if they don't have the scientific background like I don't. Okay. And people are going to, they're going to land where they land. Okay. I can tell you that for me, I prefer the taste and the quality of reverse osmosis water without a remineralizer on there. I can also tell you that every manufacturer that I'm aware of gives you the ability, whether they have it as part of their system or it's an add-on, to add mineral to the water. So my thought on this is the same as it was before, which is a show like this is actually good if it helps people answer the questions or ask the questions. And it may not give them answers. That's maybe our job to do that. Okay, and we can acknowledge these sheets and be aware of what they're talking about. But it doesn't matter if they want mineral in their water. We can put mineral in their water, and we can do it for a lot less than several thousand dollars from, by a system that's produced, sold through a network marketing company. I mean, we can do it pretty easily. Just add a remineralizer onto the reverse osmosis system. It brings the mineral back up. It does add calcium, magnesium back into the water, which addresses exactly what this stuff says. So it's their story. It doesn't matter whether they want it purified or not purified. We can help them with it. This and shows like this start the conversation. It gets people talking, and it becomes kind of up to us to be educated enough to and empathetic enough to their view, to understand where they're getting their information and to be able to speak about it intelligently. If you're talking to somebody that is citing this World Health Organization study and you've never read this, you're going to lose all credibility in their eyes. They're going to think that they are when I walk into Best Buy or Micro Center and I know more about the computers or the things that I'm looking for than the people that I'm asking questions of. Okay. It's very frustrating. And that salesperson, nice though they may be, just lost all credibility to me. That's my takeaway from this. Real quick. I know we're at 9:02. We got started a couple minutes late, but what do you guys think? So this is, your thoughts on all of this as well.
I mean, a lot of it for people should be about the taste that they like. But But doing a quick search, this Martin Rees guy is the only, quote, water sommelier in the United States. He's from Germany. German actually has a water sommelier union.
Yeah, but that's, but look for that. I saw that too, but that comes, that's where you find that German Mineral Water Association. That's the union.
Uh-huh.
You, if you click on that, it takes you right back to Martin Rees's stuff.
Oh, mine didn't. I'm on a water sommelier page that lists all the water sommeliers across around the world.
Oh, are you? Okay, yeah, so you found a few more. Okay, all right.
Yeah, Martin Rees is not on this list.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Uh-huh. The only guy they list for the United States is actually in Canada. And his name is Neil Halguera.
Yeah. Okay, so you delved in a little more than I did on that. Like I said, I didn't spend a ton of time on that. So that's interesting. But it's that alone is sort of a hilarious profession, I think.
Mm-hmm.
but you know, people, they find their money. So what else? Anybody else have any thoughts on this?
I do.
Go ahead.
And that's, you know what, we've got a unit that includes ozone. So if I run into a environmentalist type who's really hyped on the ozone, great, I've got something else I can sell them.
Yes.
But the thing, if people bring this up, I'm just going to tell them, look, it is a point of contact disinfectant. So it's, you know, it's great that Paris is using reverse ozone, but, you know, these public drinking spots, if someone puts their lips to it and bacteria gets in that, there's no chlorine in their water to kill that.
Exactly. You watched the episode, I take it, right?
Yeah.
Did you watch the episode?
Yeah. So anything that happens to that water after the ozone can recontaminate it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we didn't talk about that part where they're out there like drinking right out of these outside spigots and the fact that there's no residual in there. That I didn't even mention that on the call but that was, that definitely had occurred to me when I was watching it as well.
You know, Kelly, my thoughts on it are, you know, when you go into the home and a homeowner is telling you that, you know, oh, yeah, well, I know everything about water because I watched this Zac Efron show. You have to be careful because I know there are a lot of salespeople out there that would say, well, you know, yeah, that guy's just a nut job or something to that effect. And right there, what you're telling that person who they believe, the water some year, whatever he is, you know, and they believe in that episode because I watch the show and I mean, there's a lot of things that I think are really awesome with all of the episodes. But at the same time, you know, we can't tell somebody, oh, yeah, that guy's a nut job. But if we have the facts and we do our research and we talk to them and say, okay, well, yes. And I guess the bottom line is we can go ahead and strip everything out and then add it back in. But if we kind of give them the cliff notes on basically what this call is, or even feel comfortable, if you feel comfortable, refer them to this call so that they can understand everything if it's kind of an issue. But never tell the customer, oh, yeah, that guy's in that job or something like that because, again, you've lost credibility. You're pretty much arguing with them and telling them they're wrong.
Well, reverse osmosis gives a baseline. If you take everything out, yes, that's true, but then you re-add back in specifically what you want. You know, what if you have arsenic in the water? Or something like that you don't want in the water. And what's nice about that, even that show, they do talk about things like arsenic in the water and stuff like that, like taking that stuff out. And so to your point, Jen, and the point that I've tried to make as well, and we need to wrap this up here, but is that we need to be educated, we need to be empathetic. We don't want to put the customer in a situation where they're having to choose between believing Zac Efron and their local, hopefully, water treatment expert, you know, somebody who truly does know more or hopefully a little bit more about water. So, guys, I'm going to put these articles or the links to these articles in the description boxes. I spent a lot of time going down rabbit holes on this stuff, and it was really fascinating. So if anybody has any other questions on any of that, then please let me know. As always, hey, if any of you are in the path of Laura or anywhere near that, please be safe. And I don't expect you're on this call right now, but everybody else be safe as well. We will talk to you next week, if not before. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend or great day. Thanks.
Thanks.